All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at three different passages this morning. And if you've been with us over the past few weeks, you know we've been taking a break from our normal sermon series and looking at and considering Advent, considering what it means that God is with us, Emmanuel, in different ways, that God is with us as the Savior of sinners. God is with us as our shepherd in our weakness. God is with us as our King of righteousness. And this morning, we are going to be considering God with us as light and darkness. And so, if you have your Bibles or if you have your bulletins, I'm going to be considering these three passages, one from John, one from Luke, and then one from Matthew. So, as always, this is God's good and holy word. It stands over us. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. Therefore, let us give our attention to it. In John 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you would turn with me to Luke 2, or just continue following along in your bulletins, we read this about the birth of Christ, beginning at verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" And then our last passage is in Matthew 5, beginning at verse 14. This is Jesus to his disciples, and he says this, "That you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Amen. That's God's word. Let me pray for us this morning and pray that God will bless our time. Let's pray. Jesus, you are Lord, you are Savior, you are Master, you are Redeemer, and you are the Good Shepherd. And Lord, we acknowledge before you that we are sinful, that we are slow to believe, that we are faithless, that we find ourselves lacking in all that you call us to. And we ask, God, that you would have mercy on us. We ask, God, that you would draw near to us. We ask, God, that you would open our eyes that we might see light, that you would soften our hearts, that we might hear your word, that we might be changed by it, that we might be encouraged, that we might find comfort, that we might find you, that we might find life. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us our many sins. We ask, Lord, that you this morning would speak to us. We ask, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself. We ask that you would make yourself more beautiful to us and more glorious to us, that we would leave this place differently, that we would leave this place not the same way we came in, because we have met with the God of all. So, Lord, shine your light and use me, a sinner, to proclaim the excellencies of your kingdom and give us hope, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I'm honest about this time of the year, I like to think about my response to Christmas and Advent and all things concerning this time of the year is a character from Charles Dickens' novel, Scrooge. Bah humbug is kind of my mantra, my life motto. I don't want to think about anything that's happy or anything that's joyful or anything that's hopeful, mainly because I look out at the world and I see that there's so many things that are broken. There's so many things that are not right. I look at my own heart and I see there is so much that God has to work on me and in me to make me more like himself. I see my own sin. I see the brokenness of this world. I see that in many ways, things are not as they should be. This past week, Wednesday night at 6:30, here we have youth group. And this past week, you guys may have heard about this, but there's another shooting at the Taco Bell. Some guy thought he was going to make it big and rob Taco Bell of all the cash that Taco Bell has. But, you know, I was upstairs preparing for youth group, just getting ready, and it's like 5:45, and all of a sudden I hear these gunshots, you know, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, that's pretty close. But what was kind of shocking about this is that the police came so fast, y'all. Like, usually when you hear gunshots in the city, police take, like, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Yeah. So they kind of, like, responded so fast, and I was like, all right, this must be the real thing. This is the real deal. And what I learned and what I found out was, you know, this was a, you know, officer-involved shooting. There's a holdup at Taco Bell, and whoever this person was, they were shooting at this cop, these two men. And, you know, I watched upstairs, you know, from my window, as cops got out of the car and their guns are drawn and they're yelling and they're screaming to everybody, get out of the way. They're looking for this guy who shot at these cops. And I found myself upstairs in this room just like, I don't think we're having youth group tonight. Just afraid and scared and mad because I was afraid. And mad because there was nothing I could do, that I was helpless. There was nothing I could say to make this right. And I wonder what could make, you know, someone shoot at the cops. I wonder what could make these robbers feel like this was our last resort. And looking at them and looking at the darkness of this world, it hurt. It broke my heart. There is so much darkness in the world. I think about some of you. I think about some of the tragedies you've experienced this year, some of the sufferings that you've had. And as a pastor, I've walked alongside of you in that. And I remember, like, there are some things that you have suffered that God is going to have to deal with, that I cannot fix as your pastor, that Jesus himself is going to have to heal you, and that healing might only come when he returns all things to glory. that you and I will live with pain. We will live with sorrow. We will live with depression. We will live with suffering all our days. And I look at this world and I say, there is so much darkness here. I think about some of you who are here this morning and you're from war-torn countries. You have experienced horrible tragedies. I think about Aleppo. I think about Cairo. I think about all these things that are happening around the world. And again, it breaks my heart. There is so much darkness in this world. And I think we see it. We see that it doesn't matter that this time of the year is supposed to be a joyous time. It's supposed to be a time where we celebrate Christ's coming, where we're happy, and we're just supposed to pretend that nothing is wrong with the world. Nothing is wrong with us. And again, sin and evil and darkness, it does not take a break. It does not stop. Never mind that this is supposed to be a joyous time. And I think we long for things to be made right. And we long for things to be made new. There is so much darkness in this world. I think about this once, this interview, I guess it was 93, with Kurt Cobain. I don't know. For all you like teenagers, your parents were cool like 20 years ago. During this time where Nirvana was on the scene. So you just need to. But this interview with Kurt Cobain, he said this thing. He talked about why it was so scary for him at one point in his life to think about bringing a child into this world. And he's being interviewed, and this interviewer asks him, you know what really surprised me is that you're pretty bright. Your lyrics and your whole stage persona is angry. It's angst-ridden, it's frustrated, and you see the world for what it is. Did you ever have second thoughts about bringing a child into the world the way it is? And his response to that was, yes, a few years ago, I would have said the classic thing, how dare someone bring a child into a world, into this life? It's a completely tragic way to go. And if you know anything about his story, he ended up taking his life. He would have been 49 today if he were alive. But I think he's communicating something that we see and we know in our hearts of hearts, that there is so much darkness in this world. Do you see it for what it really is? Are you watching closely? And here it is that in response to that question and that thought of how dare we bring a child in this world, God brings a child into this world. That God sends his son, Jesus. The Father sends his son into this world to bring glory, to bring light in this dark world. That God takes on flesh. And this light is this image, it's this metaphor, it's this picture, if you will, of God's glory being revealed, his influence on everything in this world that comes in contact with him. That in this dark world, God will shine. And he will shine his light. And he will show us that there is hope. And he will bring peace. And that's what we see in this passage in John. That there are many things I can say about this passage. We could take weeks, we could take months, we could take years even to preach this passage. But what I want you to see from this passage is that the God is showing where light is found, where hope is found. We read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word refers to Jesus. And then you get to verse 4, it says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not overcome it. And I need to believe that this morning. And you need to believe that this morning. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We continue reading about John the Baptist, who came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And in all these things that the gospel writer John is saying, he's trying to bring us in. He's trying to give us a vision of Jesus as light, as hope, as peace. This is invitational language. He's saying to all of us, look at him again. This is who Jesus is. Consider him again. He says the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That Jesus is for everybody. That Jesus is for you. Jesus is for me. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need light. I need light. And John is saying, look at him. Consider him. And he gives light to everyone. But the truth is, as John is going to say later in his gospel, that people love darkness rather than light because their works are evil. And we don't need to look outside the church doors to see that. We can start right here in this room, in these four walls. Because wouldn't you rather be somewhere else than here right now, worshiping God? Wouldn't you rather spend your money on yourself rather than give to God? Wouldn't you rather just skip out on your marriage rather than forgive your spouse? Wouldn't you rather just ignore the people you're sitting next to rather than love them, rather than engage them? And God is showing that we, in and of ourselves, that we're not good enough, that we are not committed enough, that we are not pure enough, that he must shed light in those dark places of our hearts. And he does. We must look to Christ. We must receive him, which means we must embrace the light. And as often as you look at yourself, you should take 10 looks at Christ, as one minister once put it. For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. And that's what John is trying to get us to do, is to see and to consider our source of light, our hope, our peace, our joy. And he does that in this roundabout way. He says in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, I want you to think about that, and I want to unpack that some. Because what he is saying is that we are children of God if we believe in Christ, which means before we believed in Christ, we were not children of God. He is saying that we have the right to become children. We were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but we're born again to new life in Christ. And it's not because of anything that we've done. That you, if you are a Christian here this morning, you're not a Christian because you're African. You're not a Christian because you're European. Or you're not a Christian because you're Asian. Or if you are transracial, whatever that means, you're not a Christian because of that. Whatever ethnicity you want to identify as, you're not a Christian because of that. You are not saved because you worked hard or earned it or merited God's favor or were good enough to impress God. You're not saved because someone worked hard for you. But you're saved because God had mercy on you. That I'm saved because God had mercy on me. God is the one who breathed life into me. That I might believe, that I might respond to him. That I might be born anew. In a picture of us thinking that we brought about our own salvation, our own faith, would be like if Jules and Neve's son, Azael, said, "Oh, I brought myself into this world." They'd be like, "Nah, son, no. I was there, I labored." Jules would be like, "I passed out watching your mother labor." You did not bring yourself to faith in Christ. But God shed his light on you. God shed his light on me so that I could see and respond to the gospel. And because of God's mercy to me, listen, I have all of God's blessings. I have all of the benefits of Jesus and what Jesus has done bestowed upon me. And it's all by God's grace. And that's to say to us that there is light in this dark world. That God deals with us. God deals with our sin. God shows his glory to us. He shows that he is with us. In the very fact that we see in this passage that the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, and we see his glory, glorious of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That if you're a Christian, you are a child of God. He is a good father. He is not like these broken earthly fathers who have failed us in many ways. But God is a good father, and he cherishes, he loves you, he delights in you in the same way he delights in his son Jesus. And that's given to you all by his grace. That there are no second class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. That God has adopted us in and made us his children. He has made us his. He loves us. And it's by his grace. And that is light. Because God is saying, "I'm with you, my child. I love you, my child. In this world of darkness, I'm with you. And I've taken on flesh and become like you." It's no wonder then that whenever we come in contact with people who have shared some of our same experiences, that we tend to grow closer to these people. If there's someone who has suffered or been through the same things that we have suffered or been through, it naturally creates connection. Because we know that this person has been there. They know what it's like to be us. It's like this unspoken rule that I love. I don't know if any other black people know about this, but there's this black people knot. And it's whenever we're in a setting where we're the minority, and it's like maybe all white people around us, there'll be two black people, and we don't have to say any words. We can just kind of do the black people knot. And we communicate so much in that knot, like, "I see you. I'm with you. I'm here. I know what it's like to be you." It's an amazing thing, y'all. Like, there's no class for it. It's just caught. You just like, "All right, fellow black man, what's up?" And that's what God is doing. The God, when he takes on flesh, says, "I see you. I know what it's like to be you. I'm with you. I'm here." And he's showing that in his taking on flesh and becoming like us, that he is serious about bringing light into this dark world. That for every sin and sorrow we experience, he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. As far as the curse is found, Jesus is saying that you can bring your sin and sorrow to me, that my grace is sufficient. In that passage in Luke 2, just really briefly, I just wanted to point out one thing, and Pastor Kevin will be picking this up, but you see this as this child is born, that there is the glory of the Lord, that it's shown around them, that again you see this light and this glory of God being revealed, so much that God is saying, look to this child. And he announces to these shepherds, fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And it's to say to us, fear not, behold, this child is the good news. This child is the light of the world. This child is for sinners like you and me. This child has come to bring life and peace among those with whom he is pleased. That is ours in Christ. That we have good news. We have peace. And what God is showing is that in these dark and troubling times, in this dark world, where you can see that all things are broken and mingle with darkness and unstable, we have peace. And if you are a fault finder like me, because of Jesus, the light of the world, you can know that all will be well. In the midst of your sin and sorrow and the troubles of this world, it's many cracks, it's many imperfections. You and I can agree with the late Leonard Cohen that there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That in this dark world, Jesus shines his light. In this broken world, Jesus shines this light. And that's the reason that we can have hope. And just very briefly, this last thing in Matthew 5. I don't think we get at times how amazing what Jesus says here is, but it is. If you can remember, he's looking at his disciples. He's looking at his people. He's looking at believers. And then he says this crazy thing. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And I almost want to go like, Jesus, do you even know me, bro? Like, and Jesus says of his people, no, it's you. Why? Because you are united to me. You are the light of the world. And thankfully, our Savior gives us an illustration, so I don't have to think of one. But he says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's to say that in the same way, let your light shine. Let Jesus shine through you. Let God use you wherever he has called you to bring glory to himself, to bring others to him. But he is saying our light is not just for us. It's not for you and your people and the things you care about. But it's for this world. And Jesus is meant to be showcased to this world. You cannot keep that good news to yourself. You must tell your friends about Jesus. Shine your light so that others might see Jesus, that they might have hope in this dark world. So our Savior is the God of light, and he has made us light. I'm going to close us in prayer, and as we normally do during this time, we have been having testimonies during our Advent sermon series. And so I'm going to ask Liz Kaliza to come up after prayer to share her testimony of God being the God of light. So let's pray. Father, save us from our cynicism, save us from our anger, save us from our bitterness. Show us again that Jesus is beautiful, that the cross is our hope, that he is the light of the world, and that this mysterious child has changed everything, that you have changed everything. Despair shall reign no longer. Sorrow will not reign forever. And we thank you that joy comes in the morning, that Jesus brings joy. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us faith to believe. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to lay hold of the claims of the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. My name's Liz, and I've been here with my family for about 6 years. And thank you. Thank you guys for letting me talk. I'm incredibly grateful that Christ is the light of the world and that he is the light that shines in the darkness. And I'll just share a little bit about my story and my background. I grew up in a family home that was very dark. It was a very chaotic, unpredictable, violating childhood for me. From a young age, my parents were not safe people to be around, and they came from generations of alcoholism and violent deaths and just very chaotic relationships themselves. And so for whatever reason, they were unwilling or incapable of being safe parents for me. So what I inherited and what I learned was incredible fear and a deep sense of shame. So from a young child, as a young child, I was very scared, and I would hide myself. I would hide in the bathroom in the darkness from my parents. I was afraid of doing the wrong thing, of acting the wrong way. I was also very afraid of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But God did not leave me there. He did not leave me alone in the darkness. When I was about 8 or 9, I was in New York City with my family, and we were in a taxi cab. And the taxi cab driver, I don't know if he was a Christian, but he had Psalm 27:1 on his dashboard. And it's, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. I will never be afraid." And I didn't know God, but those words were like, you know, it was like food to my soul. And God allowed me to remember them. I clung to them for the next years of my life. When I would hide, I would repeat them. And I didn't really know what they meant, but I knew that I wanted to not be afraid. I knew that I wanted to not feel deep shame, that I didn't want to feel such hatred and loneliness. So, you know, things continued. My home life did not change, but I had those scripture words. I grew up, and by the time I was a teenager, I had sunk into a deep depression myself. I didn't see much hope. I felt very, very unseen by my family, by my parents. Felt that they didn't know me, they didn't care to. And everything felt very dark. I thought about what it would be like if I were to end my life. Who would care? Who would come? And one night, I lay on my bed crying and just weeping. And the Holy Spirit brought those Psalm 27 back to my mind and my heart. And all I can say is that God made that alive for me. He made those words come to life. He allowed me to know Jesus Christ. And I was still in the darkness, but Christ was there. I knew that I was not alone in the darkness. So God literally filled those words and brought them to life for me. And my depression did not end. My home life did not change. But from then, I knew that Christ was in the darkness. I started to learn about who he was, that he entered the darkness for me, on behalf of me, that he took on the darkness, that he was hope, that he was light. And I came to know Christ, through those words and then through knowing Christ as the light that shines in the darkness. So I'm so thankful that Christ is the light that shines in the darkness. The darkness does not overcome him, and he has conquered the darkness. So praise God. Yeah.